Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Yes, you are. And I am Puma, and we are so glad to be with you again.
Yeah.
And we are at Kirkwood Community College.
We're
our friends at Kirkwood. And we're invited today to come to our podcast here by Tia, our host here at Kirkwood.
Hello.
Yeah, Tia.
Tia, welcome. So
yes,
I'm glad you're here. So
me too.
Yeah. No, it's good. I've known Tia pretty much her whole life.
That's true.
You knew her when she was really young.
I did. I knew her at an early age. Yeah. Yeah. How do I know you, Tia?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because you're my dad.
Mm. Ooh.
Exposed.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. So Tia is my daughter, and you know, I just really appreciate her heart, and really just even Kirkwood. You know, the last 4 years or 3 years, how many years you've been here? Seems like it's been half a lifetime, but
feels like not.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know, great. Been really, really good. It's a great school, and so we're glad to be here in the studio. And it's my first time actually in here doing.
Yeah,
something, you know, with media, and it's really nice. So
it's cool.
Yeah, but we have the Puma Podcast, and on the Puma Podcast, we talk about, what do we talk about, Tori?
Jesus, life, and everything in between.
And everything in between.
Yeah.
So we got Jesus on one end, life on the other, and everything in between, which would include Kirkwood and family and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's go. So do you know what we're currently talking about, what our current series is, Tia?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I actually don't because I'm behind. So if you guys are okay giving like a refresher kind of where you guys are at in the podcast.
Oh, sure.
Because I think I just started your love series about, you know, the love of God. So I'm behind. So what's this current series you guys are doing?
That's a very good question. Tori?
Just give it to him.
Well, we've been talking about our identity in Christ. And more pointed, what does it mean for us, right? So for those who are believers who are in Christ, what does that mean for us? What is our identity?
My identity, who am I? Mm-hmm. That's a question everybody asks. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be religious to ask a question like that.
It's true.
Yeah, my identity, especially growing up in high school, my identity was wrapped around sports. Mm. So the more successful I was at sports, the better I felt about myself, the more I felt accepted by people. Mm. And so I got really down on myself when I didn't have success or when I got hurt and those sort of things. But for me, it was sports. For you, for other people, it could be a whole variety of things. Mm-hmm. We live in a world that is just saying, create yourself, be whoever you want to be, which, you know, is a message there. But we live out our identity, right? If I believe that I am, say, the greatest singer on God's green earth, and I... if you've never seen the earliest seasons of American Idol back in the day, they are so great because every other person gets on there because they think they're the greatest. They have the greatest voice that the gift God, you know, is given to the earth, you know. And I remember sometimes the woman's like, why did you kick me off so quickly? I have a great voice. And they're like, you're horrible. You're tone deaf and everything else. But well, my mom thinks I'm great, right? But it's amazing how our identity, what we believe about ourselves, who we believe ourselves to be, dictates our choices and our actions. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that those beliefs about ourselves are true. Mm-hmm. It's just this is what we believe about ourselves, and we naturally live out who we believe ourselves to be. Mm. So I think it's significant and important that we believe the truth of who we are or the reality of who we are, because our actions and choices, no matter how much we try to get rid of them, have consequences. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of align ourselves with reality and what is really true, and if there's something that's really good about myself, I want to know it.
Right.
I don't want to live life knowing that there was something true of me that I didn't know, because then maybe I'm missing out on something good, blessings. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a coach high school baseball, and, you know, there was a kid who was fantastic. He didn't see himself as a great baseball player. We actually had his senior year, a few pro scouts come to see him play. All he wanted to do was be a farmer. He was a farm kid and just loved, you know, so he was farm strong. I mean, he could hit the ball so far, but he didn't see himself as a baseball player, even though that he really was a great athlete. He just didn't see himself as that. Mm-hmm. And because he didn't see himself as that, he didn't go that direction. And so we're in this series of identity, who we are in Christ. And so, Tori, would you like to just highlight just kind of where we get that from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so lots of verses. Our big main verse for this series is Ephesians 1, and I'll just read a few verses here. Actually, I might read a whole chunk here.
Yeah, go
Ephesians
ahead,
1:3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Verse 4, love this. "For he, being God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." I mean, there's so much there, I love how, even with our identity, we are who God says we are.
Yeah.
You know, we don't create identity, we find it. We might have an idea, but in Christ, he shapes, we are redeemed, we are, you know, chosen. You could, the whole list there. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, we've looked at a bunch of them. The big highlight here that kind of launched this, and years ago for me, it says that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Yeah. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather live a life of blessing than a life of curse and suffering, right? So I want to live a blessed life. And, you know, this is a letter that Paul in the Bible wrote to a church, and he wanted them to understand who they were, their identity in Christ, because of Jesus. Because of their relationship or association with Jesus, certain things were true of them, whether they understood them or not. I mean, I have, you know, I got this thing in my pocket. It's called a smartphone, you know, which I beg to differ. There's so many things. Just because I don't understand what's on this and how to use it does not mean that this is really an incredible device. You see, this doesn't change what this is.
Right.
My understanding, if I understand more of what I have here, the more I can use it and benefit from it. And this is, I think, what's true for people and what Paul's wanting them to understand, who they are in Christ because of Jesus, because of their relationship with Jesus. People who said, yeah, I believe, you know, that there is a God and he loves me and Jesus came to earth and lived and died and rose again. We just celebrated Easter a couple of weeks ago. And that people that put their faith and trust in Jesus are now in a relationship with Jesus. And because of that relationship, there are certain blessings that come with that, whether people believe that or understand that or not. So I want to know what those blessings are.
Yeah, me too.
So Tori and I have been going through several of these blessings that the Bible talks about. And so today, this is kind of a long introduction, but today we want to get into another one of these amazing blessings. And to me, it's one of my favorite. It's really one that I just appreciate so much. So let me ask you a question, Tia.
Okay.
Now, You are my daughter.
Yes.
At least so you've been told. Okay.
All right. This is true.
Yes. So if I were to say to you, Tia, you're my daughter, but you were actually adopted, what would you think? What would go through your mind? Like what just kind of your initial thoughts or reactions to that? What are you thinking?
Wow. Well, you know, I think every child maybe comes at a point like, what if I was adopted? No, I'm not, you know. I think, like, if you were to tell me, like, right now that I was adopted, I think I'd have a lot of questions of, like, where did I come from? You know, why did you adopt me? Why haven't you told me till now? I think I probably have an identity crisis.
An identity crisis?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it'd be like, everything that I know is my family is not real, and though it is my family, it all of a sudden like is totally different. But at the same time, I still have a relationship with you guys. I still love you guys. So, yeah, I feel like I would have an identity crisis at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you were not adopted.
Yay! So check. Right. I'm okay. Right.
But I, on the other hand,
Tori. Whoa.
But this idea of adoption is kind of the subject we want to get into, because the Bible says one of the blessings that we possess in Jesus is that we are adopted in Christ. So shall we explore that?
Yes.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's dive in.
Yeah. Well, all right. So when you think of the word adoption, what comes to your mind today, right? So, I mean, I ask you if you thought you were adopted, but when we hear the word adoption and we hear this word in our culture today, what comes to mind? So what do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, adoption, I think a lot of times I think of babies, you know, people that either can't have kids or they just want more kids. they will adopt. So like, oh, we'll go to the orphanage, or, you know, foster care is a really big thing, which is awesome. I typically think of adoption of kids without parents who, for whatever reason, are in a either foster care or orphanage, which isn't as popular anymore in the West, but it is in other countries. And yeah, parents want to take that kid to be their own.
Yeah. Okay. And I would totally agree with that. And I would even think of it more as like taking a kid from a broken home into a good home, because they're being adopted because they don't have a home. And so I kind of think it as, like, nowadays, like, in our culture, it's a lot of families want to adopt. Like you're saying, they want kids or something, but also you're helping this kid into a better home because they don't have one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So the two of you know that your mother, my wife, was adopted when she was 6 and a half from South Korea. And,
yes.
You know, adopted into an American family. And, you know, so she came here. So we as a family have always been open to adoption. Not that I ever expected to have so many children.
I was going to say, like, what adoption is so many of us.
Yeah, but actually after you, Tori, I'm looking at you. We still lived in Indiana after you were born, and Indiana had what they called the Red Book. And it was in the state, you know, children that were sort of wards of the state or potentially up for adoption. And typically, like, what ages do people typically want if they're going to adopt a kid? What were people looking for typically?
Yeah. I mean, usually babies, young children.
Yeah. Yeah, usually if a kid's 5, 6, or 12, right? I mean, the older the kid, the less desirable typically it is that people, you know. And so they had a Red Book of kids. And I remember your mom and I looking through that book, and just because so many kids, you know, just the potential there. And then we ended up moving away, and then we started having more kids. But so never really got back to that idea of adoption, but open to that, because there's so many, you know, kids that we're needing.
Yeah.
So this is the idea of adoption in our world today, especially Western culture. People either they can't have kids, or they see, you know, young kids from different countries that, you know, orphans and whatnot, and want to adopt them and raise them, right? You want to raise them all the way up. Yeah. That's the picture that comes to our minds when we think of adoption. But that is exactly the opposite of the picture that would have come to the minds in the first century.
Really?
When Paul wrote this. I mean, when he says that in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. When they heard the word adoption, they didn't think babies. In fact, in the first century, children were wanted as long as they were functional and healthy.
Right.
You know, children really kind of were just there. You know, really in the first century and after, you know, the early Christians, you know, they were the ones that started adopting all the kids that people didn't want. Mm. You know, that people, you know, whether the kid was a burden or whatever, and kids. But it wasn't, the first century world wasn't about kids, and it wasn't even necessarily about women. It was about, you know, the family, and then the head of the family dictating, you know, what goes on. Mm-hmm. And so in the first century, people didn't adopt children typically. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure we can find anecdotal stories of that. But in the first century, adoption was all about adopting basically someone that's going to continue on your family line or continue on your family legacy or your family honor. So interestingly, like in the first century, you know, in those the first 100 years AD, the different Caesars, there was 5 in a row that were all adopted, right?
Really?
So you have Caesar who, you know, is going to die, and you pass on, you know, your kind of legacy and your family history. If you don't have a son, or you have a son who is weak, you know, you don't let that son take over, you know, as, you know, Caesar after you. You might say, you know, a general or somebody who is successful, someone that you can be proud of. And so in the first century, they adopted, you know, adults. And when you adopt an adult, they've actually made it to adulthood. So, you know, if you adopted a baby, that baby might not even make it to adulthood, you know, as far as the mortality rates.
Wow.
So in the first century, when they heard adoption, they immediately, and if I asked you, name some famous adopted people. Can you name any?
Not off the top of my head. Like, not really.
Just the Orphan Wendy from Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy, yeah.
That's right. All I got.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it sounds like they just, like, adopted, like, for their own selfish gain, like, to benefit themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
But if the leader of your country adopted a son in mm-hmm. order to take over as the next leader of the country, do you mm-hmm. think everybody would know that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. See, this idea of adoption, this would have been people would have in mind.
Yeah.
You know, so when it says that in love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons
wow.
through mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
What picture would they have? The picture of their culture of adoption. You only adopt people that have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You only adopt people that already are people of honor or people of mm-hmm. prestige or someone mm-hmm. that is going to take your family name and run with it and make it even more famous mm-hmm. and carry on the legacy. You're not going to adopt the beggar. You're not going to mm-hmm. adopt the homeless. You're not going to adopt the kid from a broken home. You're not going to adopt the person that has all kinds of social issues or physical issues or even big, gross sin issues. You're not going to adopt those people because they're going to bring shame upon your family. They're not going to take your family legacy and enhance it. They're going to actually be a reason for people to think less about your family.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because adoption, like you're saying, Puma, it was all really for selfish gain, right?
Yeah.
So back then, I'm going to adopt this person if he, A, makes my family look more famous or better, if there's social standing, maybe he's got a skill set, you know. It's like Caesar, right? So Tiberius, I think there was like five different, just Apostle Paul's lifetime, adopted leaders. They were adopted because of what they brought to the table. It was an adoption not out of love, but out of what do you bring me?
Right.
It was really a selfish adoption. And that was very common. I mean, this term.
How can you benefit our family? Because if you can't, we don't want you.
Right.
Wow.
So,
yeah. Wow. Well, and I like how Paul uses this whole phrase, we are adopted in Christ, five times in the New Testament, and is very, which again, all very Roman Greek books. And it's interesting because they would understand this adoption term to be transactional. Well, hold on.
Mm.
You know, God adopted us. Well, that means we have to bring something. There was an idea, people adopted for fame, for input, for wealth, whatever. But it's so different, right? We have a holy God, Jesus Christ, who, when we believe in him, we are adopted as his kids, and we bring nothing to the table other than sin, right? And so the whole contrast, especially with the culture, you adopt for selfish reasons, not for love. And you definitely don't adopt people who have a blemish, who are, you know, a broken leg, I don't know, can't speak, right? Mm-hmm. And children often weren't even respected until they could do a man's job, they were, or could do some craft. And even then, if they were ugly or disabled, they were thrown aside, right? Really, in terms of adoption of babies, it was the Christian church. It was the early Christians that would take babies that were thrown away because they weren't perfect. And part of the reason why Christianity grew so fast, I think, is because these Christian mothers would take these babies and raise them and care for them because they weren't wanted. Mm. They wouldn't be adopted by the world because, one, they're babies. They have nothing to offer. But also, they weren't a perfect child. And, this idea of adoption for selfish gain, to adopt an adult, is so foreign to me.
Yeah,
same. But that was the culture there.
Wow.
You know, so, Puma, as you're reading, like, you can read that verse again, just that context, if you thought adoption was only for selfish reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It says, in love, he predestined or thought of us beforehand to be adopted as his sons, and sons being, encompassing sons and daughters there. It's
children.
Not just men, it's children, through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will.
Wow.
Right? It pleased God to adopt us, and it was his will and choice to do so. And so this idea of adoption, it was very much a legal thing, just like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the legal thing, when one is adopted, they go from one family to a new family.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically all ties to the old family are cut off, which includes debts, which includes name, which includes everything. You're basically cut off from the old family, and you're in now a new family, and it's a legal thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a permanent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea of adoption was, and especially in the first century, was a very honorable thing, right? So if I can only adopt one person to carry on my family legacy, and I choose you, that's a highly prestigious thing.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
They see a lot of value in that person.
Well, a lot of value in that person. True. It was a very honorable thing. So what makes it so amazing when it says here that in love God predestined to adopt us. And it doesn't say he adopted us because we were successful. Right. It doesn't say he adopted us because we make God look better, right? It says that he adopted us as his sons through Jesus, because of Jesus, because of our relationship with Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will.
Wow.
And that us is anyone who desires to trust Jesus as Savior, regardless of your skill set, regardless of your heritage, regardless of how successful or unsuccessful you are. It's about relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's open. So the honor that is bestowed upon one who is adopted.
Yeah.
That's kind of the picture that he was painting there. What an amazing thing. In love, he adopted us out of love.
That's not crazy.
Not out of benefit to himself, right, but choosing to love us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't a convenience or, oh, I love your skill set or I love your status, which they would often see, again, at this time, adoption was very strings attached. I love you because of what you bring to the table. But yeah, here we see, you know, Ephesians 1 and verse, well, really all throughout, but just in this verse here, you know, verse 4 and 5, he predestined us, and I love, in love, right, is key, with his pleasure and will. So it's not, oh, I love you because of what you bring to the table. What do people bring, Jesus? Sin.
Yeah.
We actually bring a negative marring of his holiness. Mm-hmm. But it was in love that he chose us and adopted us.
That's amazing.
With his pleasure and will. People didn't adopt out of genuine love for someone else. They adopted out of, again, means or physical status. What a contrast. What a blessing that an almighty God, Jesus Christ, would pick us and choose us, but adopt us and give us. So we are adopted into his family, right? He doesn't come to ours, we go to his, which means we get all of his status and heritage and inheritance even when we bring nothing to the table. That is strictly a sacrificial, I love you, even though all you bring is sin.
Wow. Yeah, our last podcast, one of the blessings that we talked about from Colossians chapter 1 is that we've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son. In other words, the Bible really paints there's just, in a sense, two families. There's not the family of God, and there is the family of God. So when we are adopted in Christ, we go from not being a part of God's family to becoming a part of God's family. It's a legal transaction picture that's pictured there, and it's a permanent thing. And so you have a new identity. I'm now a child of God, which is actually our subject for our next podcast next time. But we have a new family with a new heritage and with a new name and a new identity, a new inheritance, and all that comes with that. The old is gone. And now I'm in a new family. Just like today, when a kid is adopted into a new family, they get the new family name, right? Their old family is legally, they're legally separated, and now they're legally, and so just like a natural born child, you have the same legal status, the same inheritance, the same value to the family as if you were a child naturally born. Which is an amazing thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so this is this picture of adoption. One of the blessings that we have because of our relationship with Jesus is that we are actually adopted into God's family. So everything changes.
Yeah. The whole perspective
changes.
Yep. Everything.
Yep. Legally, we're considered just like, the natural born. So I have 8 children. If I adopted a number 9, they would be legally and in every way my child, just like all the natural born children. What's interesting is everybody who is in Christ, we're all adopted. We're all adopted children. We all share the same name, same heritance, the same family that God now becomes our father.
Yeah.
Because of Jesus.
You know, even like that too, like the fact that like, you know, I believe, like, I'm such a sinner, and, like, how God would, like, choose, like, me and people while we bring the table here to sanctuary is sin. And even with that, God still wants to give us his, like, heritage.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. Like, and again, out of love, with his pleasure, and he, like, chose us. It's just amazing. Like, the, that kind of love, knowing what kind of person I am, and just, like, how much God would do that for me and want to have a relationship with me and forgive me for all my sin. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. Right. Well, even in a world of transactional love, in a world where things are conditional, and I will love you, I will like you, I'll be your friend, you know, but you have to provide X, Y, and Z for me. But then to a whole new level, okay, I'm not just going to join your friend group, but I'm going to give you my rights. I'm going to make you my kid. The permanency there, knowing that I will give you all this love and you will give me nothing. You just can't. Other than, you know, maybe feeble, weak faith, but I'm still going to give you love forever as my kid.
Hmm.
I mean, because again, even back then, right? So if you had a debt, it was your family name, you know, you were tied to your family line. And so we bring a lot of debt into this relationship with God, a lot.
Yeah, and he says, I love how it starts that phrase, in love, in love.
Hmm.
God adopts because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
In the first century, you adopted because you want to use what you can get from the, you know, adoptee. Yeah. And I'm not saying in the first century they didn't love each other. Not saying that. I'm just saying, like what you were talking about, Tori, this idea of transactional.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a world that often things are transactional. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Mm-hmm.
For God to adopt us because he loves us. That's the motivation. Not because of what we bring to the table, but because he loves us. It's him to us, not us to him, which is a very, very different. So if we could understand, going back to the big picture of who I am in Christ because of Jesus and all the blessings that I have, what does that mean for my life and the life for anybody that trusts Jesus as Savior? Their identity, they've gone from, you know, one family, as Paul talked about, we talked about in the last podcast, the Dominion of Darkness, into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I go from one family where I got to scratch and fight and claw my way, and I got to jump over people and sometimes use people. And, you know, this thing the Bible calls sin and selfishness, it's not just in my heart, but it's in everyone's heart. We live in that world where everybody is trying to take advantage and get over everybody, create an identity so that I can be more liked than other people. What if I really believe what God says here is true, that when I trust Jesus as Savior, I now have been adopted into God's family. And so now it's not my name that's important. It's the name that he's attached to me. I am now a child of God. He is now my father. And if I lived as if that is true, that I'm adopted because he loved me, not because he wants to use me and get something out of me, which is the way I think a lot of people see God, actually, that if I really believe that to be true, would that not be a blessing? Would that not just free me to be able to do and to live in a way that is right and beneficial? And if he loves me like that, how else does he love me? What else has he said about me?
Yeah.
Right? And he's not going to adopt me into his family and then leave me alone as if I'm an orphan. And the Bible doesn't say he adopts us into his family. And so we're talking about all these blessings. It's not just one blessing, but it's the whole package. And there's no fine print to God. He says what he says. There's no fine print, like when you, like we talked about, I think, in our first podcast, the whole thing of JCPenney, where we won this $500 coupon, but then the fine print said that it only applies to two things in the store, right? It's not this bait and switch. He says, I love you in Christ. You are now my child.
Wow.
I adopt you into my family.
And
all the blessings that come with that. So if I believe that's who I am, how would that change how I live my life? You know, so that kind of gets to our applicational question, or AQ, you know, we like to have at the end of every podcast, and really just to kind of think through, you know, how do we think differently, or how can I think about my life and where am I in relationship to this truth, this blessing? So, Tori, do you want to kind of share just a little bit about maybe a way to think about that in our life, you know?
Yeah, like a good AQ, you know, for us. I mean, in light of this truth that in Christ we are hit God's child. We are adopted, that nothing can unadopt us. Mm-hmm. The question is, where or what are the things in my life that are competing where I believe I have to earn God's favor? Like, okay, yeah, God, you know, I got to do this because you love me, but I don't know if I'm really your kid. Or, like, I have to earn your approval, you know, because you're just mad at me all the time. Where are the things in our life?
I didn't do quite as well as another one of your kids, right. God. So maybe you'll love them more than me.
Right?
I mean, we do this in our families, right? We compare ourselves to other people.
Get better grades, right? More talented. We try to earn God's approval as if we can make ourselves any more or less God's kid, right? So where are the things in your life? The question, where are the things in your life that are getting in the way where you're trying to earn God's, you know, love, that you're trying to prove your worthiness to God as if you are worth being his kid? Because according to God's word in Christ, it's official, it's permanent. You are God's kid.
Yeah.
Period.
Right. Well, what makes you acceptable to God?
Yeah.
His choice.
Yep.
Not my gifts and skills and talents.
Yeah.
It says in love he predetermined to adopt us as his sons in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm accepted as his son because of what he has done, not because of me.
You're right, exactly.
And that direction changes everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, so the application, you know, am I trying to earn God's favor and earn God's acceptance and cause him to desire me more and to love me more? Or do I live out the identity of who he says I am in Christ, that I am his child? And now I can love others. I can show kindness. I can do stuff, not because I'm trying to earn his favor, his love, but just as a response to the love that he's shown to me.
Yeah.
You see, it changes significantly how I live my life and why I do the things that I do based upon who I believe myself to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this whole series on my identity, who I am in Christ, I think is so significant.
Yeah.
Not just for, you know, Christians or people in the church, but for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everyone. That is the question that we're all asking, especially in our culture today.
Yes.
Who am I? What am I? What makes me me?
Mm.
And living out who I believe myself to be with all of the consequences that come with that, both positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I love what God says, because he actually loves us and wants what is best for us. He wants us to have blessing, but the blessing is defined by him, not by us.
That's true, yeah.
So,
and I think it's such a great question, like, you know, a thought-provoking question even for me, you know, like, because, like, I find myself, like, you know, I know what God says, I know I'm repented of my sin, he's adopted me into his family, you know, and I know that truth, and it's so easy, like you were saying, like, so many things that are like, oh, like, that Christian is doing well for the Lord, so therefore I'm less, quote-unquote, less loved, or, you know, or I didn't get, you know, my Bible in this day, or, you know, I wasn't praying as much today, like, all these limitations that I put on myself, but God says, I love you, I've forgiven you, like, you are my child, regardless, you know, of, you know, what you, like, you think you're doing better or less, like, that status doesn't change, we can't earn God's love, he just loves us for who we are. I think it's such a really great, like, reminder of how much, like, it's all in love because he loves us. And he, like you were saying, Puma, like, he wants to bless us. And I just think that's so amazing.
Yeah. Well, and even to what you're saying, Tia, like, if we really understand this truth, that we are God's kid regardless of what we bring, because what can we bring? We're human, right? I mean, what can we bring? That should humble us, not make us arrogant.
Yes.
I think if we walk away, oh, I'm God's kid, he loves me, I can do whatever I want, then we have it. We missed the heart of God. We missed the heart of love. You know, and I think this truth will really humble us, like, thank you, God, for inviting me, for picking me to be your kid. That should be humbling, not arrogant. It shouldn't make us haughty. And I think sometimes I've seen this the other way. Oh, I'm God's favorite. Well, I mean, God loves you, but, you know, that's very arrogant to say that you're better than others. But, I love this truth because it reminds me that my identity comes from God, not from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm his kid, and I can't make myself God's kid. God picked me. I responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing truth.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. Well, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, the Bible tells us. And today, the big idea is that in Christ, for those related to Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, what is true of you is that you are adopted into God's family,
yes.
Which means you are a child of God, mm-hmm. which is the topic of our next podcast, the Puma podcast. One of the blessings is that we are a child of God and all the significance of that. Now that we're part of his family, mm-hmm. that makes us a child of God. So what is that? Yeah. You have to wait till next time to find out.
Yeah. Tune in next time, everybody.
Well, thank you, Tia. Thank you, Kirkwood, for having us, for hosting us.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you so much for letting me join the podcast and for willing to come to Kirkwood.
Oh, no,
so fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. Being here. Well, we're glad that you're here because we couldn't get in here without you.
So. Well, I'm glad you're here, too.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys, if you have any questions or comments about this podcast or this particular episode or whatever, you can always reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you, maybe, and correspond and hear your questions. And thank you guys for tuning in.
Yeah. So thank you, Tia. Thank you, Kirkwood. And thank you, Tori, for kind of helping get all this set up.
Thank you guys again so much. Yeah. It's awesome.
Right. It was great.
Well, thank you all. Until next time.
We'll see you then.
Yep. Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Bye. Oh, I should have done the bye.
Bye.
We can just say the goodbye part one time. You know what I mean?
Wait, together on three?
Yeah, together.
One, two, three.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Trey, by the way.
Yes, thank you, Trey.
Tech team.
Oh, that was really good.